Now we're going to go to the Word of God, and I want to share with us something that God has placed within my heart. And it's been burning my heart for the last few weeks, and it's really encouraged me, and it's really challenged me actually. And I believe that this is the Word that God wants me to share with you all today. And I know that we are all going to be blessed, we're all going to be encouraged by this Word. And I pray that God will open up our hearts to receive this Word. And God will open up our understanding so that we may understand His Word like we've never done before. Amen. 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 Praise God. Let me just pray before we go any further. Jesus, let's just prepare our hearts. Let's just open up our hearts for God to speak to us. Jesus. Father God, we come before You, Lord, and we want to thank You, Lord, for Your love. We want to thank You, Lord, that You love us unconditionally and there are no conditions attached to Your love. Lord, I thank You that You committed to every one of us, Lord God, regardless of whatever our state, Lord, regardless of whatever we did yesterday, regardless of whatever we did today, good or bad, You still love us the same and You still are committed to us. And I thank You, God. God, so I come before You, Lord, and I pray, Lord, as we open up Your Word together, I pray, Lord, that You will speak to us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You will open up our understanding, Lord God, that we may know You more. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that You will give us that supernatural heavenly food today, Lord God, so that we may draw even more closer to You, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that You will be with us today, Lord, as we look into Your Word, Lord, and as we share this Word together, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen. If you've got your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 6. Gospel of John, chapter 6. And we're going to read from verse 60. Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 60. Let me give you a little bit of context. Before we get on this verse, Jesus is actually talking and actually feeding 5,000 people. And when he's actually talking and he's actually communicating to them, straight after that we see another account of Jesus walking on the water as well. And straight after that we see Jesus teaching to his disciples, teaching to his listeners that he is now the ultimate bread of life, that whoever communes with him will never be hungry, and Jesus is the one who actually gives life to the people. And this is what he says on verse 60. Now we know the context that Jesus is actually teaching to them. This is what he says. On hearing, amen, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life." Let me say that again. "The Spirit gives life. The Word counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are Spirit and they are life." Amen. Let me say this to you again. These are the words of Jesus. This is Jesus speaking. "The words I have spoken to you are spirit." In other words, it's good for us. Our spirit, and they are life. So in a sense, Jesus is interested in our spirituality as much as our physicality as well. Physicality. So Jesus is interested in both spirituality and physicality. What am I saying? I'm struggling with that word. Physically, yes, thank you. Oh my days, I'm struggling with this. I don't know what's been happening with me today. My tongue's everywhere. Yeah, so Jesus is interested in both the physical and the spiritual. Amen. So in many ways, whenever we approach the text, we approach the text in a spiritual way. Yes, we need to do that. But in the same sense, not just approaching the text on a spiritual way, but now we need to approach the text in a physical way. What I mean by that is now it's time to put the Word of God into practice. Not just read out the Word of the God, not just speak the Word of God, not just do all of that, but we need to put that into practice. So I want to speak about three things today. I want to speak to you about, first of all, hearing people. God has called every one of us to be hearing people. And the second thing I want to speak to us today is about doing people. God has called every one of us to be doing people. And the third one is speaking people. God has called us to be speaking people. Amen. Hearing people, doing people, and speaking people. So my first point, hearing people. Looking into the scripture, we see that on hearing this, many disciples said that this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And so many times, even in our own life, whenever we hear the voice of God, it doesn't always come with fluffiness. It's hard teaching. Whenever we hear the words, we hear the word of God, whenever we hear the Lord speaking to us, it's challenging and it's tough, because God wants us to lay stuff down that's not good for us. And we know that we need to lay it down, but we struggle so much that we keep on carrying with the journey. And I believe that God's called every one of us to first of all listen to Him. And not just listen to Him, but obey Him. There's a difference. We can listen, but yet not obey. But I firmly believe that God has called every one of us to listen to Him and to obey Him as well. And so many times, even in our own journey, our Christian journey, we look at our own lives and we don't see any growth. We look at our own lives and we say to ourselves, oh, I've been reading the scripture for days. I've been meditating on the scriptures for days. But why am I not seeing that breakthrough in my life? Why am I not seeing that radical experience in my life? I used to have it ages ago, but I don't experience God anymore. Because we are not obeying the word of God. Because we are not taking time to actually sit in His presence and to listen to the voice of God. And the biggest challenge for every one of us is to actually sit in the quietness and to actually listen to the voice of God. Listen to the voice of God. When we don't devote ourselves to the word of God, we don't move forward. When we don't devote ourselves to the word of God, we stay in the same place. When we don't devote ourselves in the word of God, we struggle with the whole community aspects of Christianity. When we don't devote ourselves to the word of God, we drift away from the church. We drift away from God's people. Because every time whenever we talk about word of God, it kind of offends the people who does not devote themselves to the word of God. Amen. And I know this is a very challenging message, and I'm getting on it straight away, but this is what I feel that God has placed in my heart. Because if someone is on really fire for Jesus and someone who isn't, the person who isn't on fire for Jesus is going to struggle with the person who is on fire for Jesus. But instead of struggling with that person, why not a person who is so much on fire for God get on with another person who is not so much on fire for God, and they work together so that they can aim for the same goal, so that they can be on the same place in 3 years' time. Amen? The Word of God, when we devote ourselves to the Word of God, we see supernatural things happening in this life. And we see in Genesis chapter 1 that God spoke the things into being. God spoke and boom, there was heaven and the earth. God spoke and boom, there was plants, there was trees. God spoke, boom, there was animals. God spoke and there was mighty things happening when God spoke. And we need to consider this one thing, that whenever God spoke, it changed people. Whenever God spoke, it changed circumstances. Because there is power in the word of God. Because there is power in the voice of God. And what I want to highlight today is so many times we spend our time listening to the stuff that we shouldn't be listening in the first place. So many times in our own life, we spend so much time listening to the gossips that we shouldn't be listening in the first place. So many times we spend so much time listening to the moanings of people that we shouldn't be listening. Because if you spend too much time with the moaners, the result is you and me, we will end up becoming that moaner. If we spend too much time with the grumblers, you and me, sooner or later, we will become that grumbler. But if we're spending time with people who are so passionate for Jesus and who are always speaking life, then we will become the same. We will be people who will be speaking the truth and the life as well. And over the years, what I've discovered is we have too many people who emphasize the problem yet don't focus on the solution. We have too much people bigging up the problem and actually scaring people away, And because of that sort of voices, loads of people are not moving forward. Why? Because they believe the lies more than the truth. Because they believe the problem more than the solution. Whatever your problem, Jesus is the solution. Andrew keeps on saying it, preaching on this all the time. Whatever the problem, Jesus is the solution and it is the truth. Whatever the problem, the Word of God is the solution and that is the truth. Let me share with us the story of an elephant. An elephant, there was this man who actually went to India and he saw this big giant elephant. And this elephant had one of his legs tied with a rope. And he was actually really fascinated because the rope wasn't tied up to anything. The rope was just there and it was tied up to his leg. But it wasn't tied up to a tree or anything. It was just there. And he was actually amazed that the elephant wasn't even moving forward. And he went to this person who'd been looking after this elephant. And he went, oh, this is amazing. Like, the elephant can actually, even if it's tied up to a tree, he can pull it off and he can make the tree fall. But he's actually not moving anywhere. He just stood there. And he's not even moving anyway. So this person said to this man who went to India, he goes, oh, so when they grow up, we train them that way. So when they're a little elephant, what they do, they tie one of their legs, and they're actually tied up to a tree or something. So every time they try moving, they can't move because they know that they're tied up. And because they do it for so long, it's actually in his head now, in elephant's head. So even when it grows, it's not able to move forward. Why? Because he has started believing that he's always in that prison. Because he started believing that he's always tied up to that tree. Because he knows. Because he believes that he can't move forward because he's tied up to a tree. And similarly, our brains, our lives, we've allowed so much negativity to be poured into our lives that we've now allowed that negativity to be the truth in our lives. And can I just say something to you? It's not true. It's not true what people have spoken over your lives. It's not true what you are believing about yourself. It's not. I went to Slimming World yesterday. It was Friday actually. I went to Slimming World Friday. And it's not been a good week for me. It's not been good 2 weeks for me. And can I just say, they publicly shame you. So if you've gained weight, like, there's no hiding. You have to face up to the truth that you've actually gained weight. And they tell you right off. Which is good. We need that. We need accountability. Amen. So, this is funny story. I was actually sat there, and this is a bloke called John as well. And he had lost 5 pounds the week before, but this week he had put on 3 pounds, and he knew what was coming his way. So before even doing anything, he just left. He was like, "Guys, I'm going to eat later." Before even the group started, he just left. And I said, "I know, John, where you're leaving." So he left. And it was me and Ian sat there, us two blokes. Ian actually got half a stone award yesterday, Friday. Yeah, so he's done well. And having said that, I got Slimmer of the Month award. Eight and a half pounds, just saying. I did, yes. I was surprised. Thank you. I was surprised. So what I did was, I was there, and in my head, I'd been thinking, oh, I don't know if I want to go to Slimming World today, because it's not been a good week for me. It's not been good, not just a week, good 2 weeks for me. So I was like, what should I do? Should I just like make up an excuse and not go there? But then I was like, no, I need to face up the truth. Even if I've gained. I need to face up the truth. Then I've been saying to Ian, mate, I've not done well this week. I've not done. And Ian was like, oh, you never know, mate. You might actually, I've lost some weight. You might not know. And actually, in my head, I was like, oh, I've gained a lot. And actually went to Slimming World, and they weighed me, and I was half a pound lighter. I was like, goodness me, I don't believe this. So I've been eating all week and I've still managed to lose weight. This don't make sense. Either the weight was wrong or I don't know. But oh well. Yeah, I was like that. But anyways, I lost some weight. And because I went there, I was awarded Slimmer of the Week, Slimmer of the Month awards. And I walked home with a certificate and a sticker for my book. And a fridge magnet saying I've achieved something. And not only that, but I actually bought a raffle. And I won the raffle as well. Amen. So it was fantastic. It was win-win. And that really cheered me up. Then after, and Ian and me, we walked out. And I was thinking about it in my head. So many times we just make up so much stuff in our heads that we actually make excuses of why not to be there, why not to go there. In my head, I was believing so many lies of even though I was that wrong, but I was still believing. I was believing so many lies in my head that I was not actually about to go to that place. But I made that decision of whatever I might believe or whatever I might be thinking right now, I'm still gonna go. And because of that, I found out that I'd lost 8.5 pounds, and I was awarded. And if I wouldn't have gone there yesterday, I wouldn't have received that certificate. And I wouldn't have been able to win that raffle as well. And similarly as well, in our own lives as well, we need to listen to the truth. And the truth is this: you can do. You can do it. And the truth is this: the person you've been praying for years, they are going to get saved. And the truth is this: you might be in pain saying, God, I'm never going to be well. That's lies. God is going to heal you. And God is going to do something supernatural in your life. And you might be in a situation where you look around and you see, God, I see no way out of this. And the truth is, God is going to move in your life. God is going to move in your situation. God is going to move in your circumstances. Because God can. We can't, but God can. Amen. God can do all things. We can't do all things, but God can do all things. Amen. So that's what we need to spend time listening to positivity. We need to spend time listening to sermons. We need to spend time listening to the Word of God. We need to spend time listening to good stuff that's good for us. Because like, if we listen to too many lies, we will start believing it. But if we listen to too many truths, we will start believing the truth. Amen. So whatever our hearing level is like, we need to spend time listening to stuff that's good for us. Because the Word of God changes lives. Because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Not just reading the Word of God, but hearing the Word of God. And the change also comes by listening to the Word of God. And the transformation also comes when the Word of God is revealed to us through speech and through the book, which is the Bible. Amen. So my second point was doing people. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. And there's two people in this Bible: the wise builder and the foolish builder. And we all know the story. And this is what it says: therefore, everyone who hears, again, every single scripture that we look at, it always talks about hearing. Because whenever we hear the Word of God, it follows the healing of the body. Amen. It follows the transformation of the body. It follows unity of the body. That's why it's so important to hear the Word of God. And this is what it says: therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, amen, who hears and also does, which is puts them into practice, is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. So we need to hear the Word of God, and we need to put it into practice. If you and me, we do that, we're like the wise man, the Bible says. And this voice says about the wise man. The wise man who built his house on the rock. Amen. If you want to spiritualize the whole text. Who builds his house on Jesus Christ, who is the rock. Amen. The rain came down and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. And that's how we should be. When we hear the Word of God and when we put it into practice, you and me become, our foundation becomes so solid that whenever even we face storms in our lives, even if we face so many troubles in our lives, we will be able to stand firm, because our foundation is built on a rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. And so many times, we spend too much time saying, we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to bring this sort of change, we need to spend that sort of thing. And it happens everywhere. We get that, yes. But in order to fulfill what we have said, we need to now act. We need to change this. Just saying doesn't change stuff. We need to do stuff. Amen. We want to see people come into this church And I mean, in a sense, we are doing stuff that will bring people to the church, like Community Fund Day that we've been doing, Teen Challenge that we've been doing, reaching out to community we've been doing. We are doing stuff. And I believe because we're moving, God is going to move as well. Amen. Because God's not going to move if we're not moving. God said to Moses, listen, take my people to the promised land. And if everyone said, all right, God, I'm just going to obey you and I'm going to pray and I'm just going to wait for you to move, that wouldn't have happened. But actually Moses made that decision, God, I'm going to trust in you, amen, and I'm going to move. He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know what was waiting for him on the other side. But he made that decision where he said to God, God, I know you're with me. I know you're with me. And there's a scripture that even says, unless your presence is going with me, I'm not going. Amen. And that should be our very declaration. Unless God, you're not moving with us, we're not moving. But in the same way, we need to move first for God to move. And I believe that if all of us move individually, not just as a group, individually, in our workplaces, in our hometown, in everything that we do, declaring the truth and actually sharing the truth, we will see loads of people giving their lives to God. We will see loads of people actually experiencing miracle. People are one step away from receiving the miracle. Why? Because you and me, we haven't shared about the miracle working power for God to them. And when we share about this miracle working, awesome, almighty God to them, they will receive that miracle. They will receive that healing. They will receive that salvation. And all we need to do is we need to now, yes, we've received the word of God. We've heard the word of God. And the word of God says, go and make disciples. And now we need to do. We've become hearing people. But God is saying to us, now let's be doing people. Amen. And we need to, and it's hard. It's hard. We read the word of God, we quote the scriptures, and we know it all, but actually putting it into practice is hard. And I struggle with it daily. When I'm driving my car and someone's driving like a mad dog, it makes me mad. I'm like, oh, where are you going? And there's this road rage that comes over me. But then I just say to myself, hey, love your neighbor, alright. And when I'm actually walking in my own street and someone gives me evils and says stuff about me, that makes me want to say something back at them. But then I have to really hold my fist and say to myself, listen, Dan, they don't know what you know. They've not experienced what you've experienced. And I think we always are like one step behind of making that good choice and a bad choice. And in that sort of times, it's always good to remind ourselves what the word of God teaches us. Love your neighbor. And if we love our neighbor, and if we show them what love of God actually looks like, they will experience the love of God. They will experience the true encounter of Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. Because they don't know what we know. And for us, this is very challenging as well, because we look at a tree and we see a tree and we judge a tree by its fruit, don't we? But can I just say, all trees bear fruit. And not every, but listen to me carefully, but not every tree bears good fruit. All trees bear fruit, don't they? You go to a tree and you look at a tree and it's like, it looks really healthy. Wow, this is a great tree. And it's got like fruits all over it. But when you actually get closer to that tree, oh, all the fruits are rotten. Because why? Because it's not been watered well. Why? Because its roots is rooted in wrong places. Because it's not received good sunshine. But if we actually see a tree that's healthy, and when we go closer to that tree, and when we see the fruit, and if that fruit is good, what can we tell about that tree? Someone's actually took their time to maintain that tree. Someone's actually watered that tree. Someone's actually looked after that tree. And similarly, with our own lives as well, we cannot judge a person's spirituality by the way they do things stuff outwardly. Amen. We cannot judge a person by his cover, as they would say, as people would say. And it's very true. Because so many times we look at people and we're so quick to judge. I'm speaking for myself here. There was a story once. There was this big church, and it was a mega church, let's say. There was this big church, a mega church. And a guy, a beggar, walks into this church. and he sits in the very back of church, and he's smelling. I mean, he's really, really smelling bad. Literally, the whole church is now smelling because he's smelling bad, and everyone can smell him. And he's in church, and all the people are actually moving away from him because he smells that bad. Everyone's just moving away from him. And there's this whole big band on stage worshipping God. And they're all going for it. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. They're all going, God, we love you. Love you, Lord. Love you so much. Everyone's going for it. And now they've even done their offering with a big shout of praise. They were like, Lord, we want to give. Blessed are the people who give. And they're all giving and that. And but now it's time to actually listen to the preacher. And they announce the preacher. And he's nowhere to be found. He's nowhere to be seen. And they say, and they repeat the person again. Can Billy Graham come to stage? And he's not around. And after a minute, this guy who sat at the back of church with the smelling clothes on gets up, goes on stage, and everyone's just like, what is this beggar doing going on stage? And next thing you know, he takes the smelly coat off and he's got a suit underneath it, and he gets to pulpit. And he starts preaching, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so many times we look at a person and we judge them by the outward appearance, that we're actually missing out who that person really is. Amen. And even for you and me, that is a challenge. We might be looking at a person, we might be judging a person by the way they smell, by the way they walk, by the way they speak. But that person might be a step behind from experiencing Jesus. That person might be a step behind from experiencing that miracle. And I want to encourage every one of us, let's be doing people. Let's be people who are doing stuff. Let's be people who are doing evangelism. Let's be people who are sharing the gospel. Let's be people who are not scared of laying hands on people and praying for a miracle. Because laying of hands and praying for people and believing in Jesus leads to that person getting saved, leads to that person encountering Jesus, leads to that person receiving healing. They're one step behind, amen. And it's up to us, are we going to obey His word? Because we've heard His word. But are we going to do His word? Because it says in James chapter 1, faith without work is dead, and work without faith is dead. So we need both. We need faith, we need to believe for healing. And work, we need to do the healing. In Jesus' name, amen. So my last point today is speaking people. Speaking people, this is very important, and I mean, I'm certainly challenged by this point, and I need to challenge myself with this point every day, because I hear the word of God and I obey the word of God, but it's my attitude that matters the most. It's what's coming out of my mouth that matters the most, because the scripture says whatever your heart is full of, your mouth speaks. So if we're saying one minute, we're saying, it says in the word of God, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And next thing you know, we're swearing at a person. That shows where we're at. Amen. That shows where a person is really at. Because a person cannot serve two masters. A person cannot say Jesus is Lord and swear at the same time. Something's not right if that's happening. This is a very heavy message. But I feel it. I believe this is what God's placed in my heart. And it's not one of them happy clappy, yay, the joy of the Lord is my strength, that kind of message. This is more like, hey, yeah, something the Lord is challenging us about, that kind of message. And it's good for us, amen. Because even my opening scripture wasn't good. When Jesus spoke, it offended the disciples. They said, what do you mean, Lord? Are we not good enough? And disciples were actually walking with the Lord, and they were doing stuff what Jesus was telling them to do. But yet when Jesus spoke to them directly, he offended them. And Andrew will be able to testify the amount of stuff that he said to people, and he offended them. And they're nowhere to be seen or found again. Amen. But we need this sort of stuff, because this is what changes us. And I mean, in my own life as well, that's why I value Andrew and Grace, because they challenged me, and they still do. And we need that. Amen. We need accountability. We need challenging, because a person cannot live on bread alone. In other words, a person cannot live with his own mindset alone, with his own understanding alone. He will need guidance of someone to help him to move forward, because he cannot see his blind spots. Yeah. And you need someone to actually tell you about your blind spots. Amen. speaking people, say only what Jesus said. Say only what Jesus said. I touched on this last Wednesday at Bible study when we were actually meeting up. We were talking about stuff and we were sharing stuff with one another. I believe that now it's time to declare. We prayed. We've done. But now it's time to declare amen. We've heard the voice of God. We've seen God move already. But now it's time to actually speak the word of God. Because so many times, like, a person looks at himself in mirror and they go, oh, I don't look pretty. I don't look nice. They already look nice, but they're saying, I don't look nice. Why? Because in their head, they think they're not pretty enough. In their head, they think they're not beautiful enough. In their head, they think I'm not handsome enough. I look at myself in mirror every day and I say, God, you're good. Thank you. Some of you are saying, yeah, right, you liar. But yeah, like, because I need that. If no one's encouraging me, I need to encourage myself. Amen? And I think that's what we need to do. Is we need to speak over our life. We need to speak over our children's life. We need to speak over our friends' life. We need to speak over our community's life. We need to speak over our everyone's life. Amen? Our own life, even. We need to speak it over our own life. And this is what he says. Jesus did not speak what had happened, but he was speaking on what was going to happen. Amen. So many times we look at our lives and we say, oh, I was in an accident, I'm never going to get better. No, I was in an accident, but you know what? Jesus is going to heal me, I'm going to get better. Because Jesus never spoke on what had happened. He spoke on what was going to happen. And we need to do the same as well. You might be saying, oh, I've been praying for this person for years and nothing's happened. That's your past. Let's say, I've been praying for this person for years and I'm still going to pray because I know he's going to get saved. You might be praying for a healing over your life and you might be saying, oh, I've been praying for years and nothing's happened. Don't stop your prayer there. Say to yourself, I've been praying for years and I'm still going to pray because I know tomorrow I'm going to get healed. Because that's what we do, don't we? That's what Jesus did. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. Mary and Martha, they're crying their eyes out saying, Lord, why did you take so much time? And it says Jesus wept. And he was moved with compassion. And Jesus was cool about it. He was like, Martha, that's your past. He's just asleep. Why are you worried? Like, you're saying, oh, why am I this? There's so much what, how, when. Don't worry about that. Look, this is what I'm going to do. He's going to come out of this tomb. Lazarus, get up and walk. And he's walking, amen. He's jumping, he's walking. And that's what we need. We fed ourselves with too much lies. We fed ourselves with too much negativity. We don't need that anymore. Because whatever the heart is full of, the mouth speaks. If our heart is not full of Jesus, our mouth won't be confessing Jesus. If our heart isn't full of love for Jesus, our mouth won't be declaring the love of Jesus to people. Speak what is going to happen. Let us continue to speak what is going to happen. And I'm going to speak that this church will be packed to people. I'm going to speak that this church, God's going to use this church to impact communities in an area. And I'm going to speak that every one of us, God is going to answer your prayers. Good prayers. not the bad prayers. Good prayers, amen. God is going to answer your prayers. You might be looking for a job. God is going to provide that for you. You might be looking for finances that you're struggling with. God is going to provide that for you. You might be looking for a place to live. God is going to provide for you. You might be looking for a lawnmower. God is going to provide for you. Amen. He's faithful. Amen. And He knows what we're looking for. God knows what we're looking for. God has been inside our hearts. And He knows what we cry about every night. He knows what we're passionate about. He knows that we want, oh my, He knows. And God is saying, I'm going to do it. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep being hearing people. Keep hearing my word. Keep doing my word. And keep speaking my word. Because He is going to do it. Amen. He is going to do it. And so many times, God doesn't answer our prayers quickly. And I believe there's a reason for it. Because if God keeps on answering our prayer quickly, then we will become comfortable. That's why God allows us to wait. And I don't like waiting. None of us do. If you like waiting, please take this mic away from me and teach us on how to wait. But we don't like waiting because waiting is hard. Waiting takes time. Waiting takes ages. Waiting kills us inwardly. Outwardly we're smiling, but inwardly, oh, I'm dying, God. I want to see it now. And that's truth. And I believe the reason why God doesn't answer our prayers fast is because He wants to change our prayer life. He wants to up the label of our prayer life. He wants to up our faith level. He wants to change our heart. He wants to change the way we think. He wants to change the way we speak. There's a story in the Bible of 12 spies, and the Israelites, they're like, yes, we're moving forward, we're moving forward. And every time they were moving forward, there was another obstacle again. They were like, oh Lord. And they're like, yes, we're moving forward, we've got manna, yes Lord. And they were like, oh, we've had too much manna. Then there was another wall that they had to face again. There was one after another. God, took them years. But what it did to them was it changed their mindset about God. It changed their heart. And now they're so close to reaching promised land. And now they see this place, and in their heart they think, oh, this is the promised land. But they still got doubts, saying, is this really our promised land? So they send 12 spies away. We can find this in Numbers chapter 30. Yeah, I think it is Numbers chapter 30, yeah. 13, Numbers chapter 13, 1-3. We see that story there. And actually, there's 12 spies that's been sent to investigate this promised land. And like, they go there and they see these gigantic people, they see these big fruits and everything. And they're like, wow, this is exactly what God has told us about. But there are actually giants there. And they go back, and 10 of them reported saying, oh, it's exactly the same place like the Lord revealed to us. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. There's like big fruits and it's lovely. But he says, but there are giants. And by looking at them, they weren't small giants. They were big giants. They're going to kill us all. So that's what they said, the 10 people. There was 2 people there, Joshua and Caleb. And that's why the names are mentioned in Numbers 13, chapter 38, Joshua and Caleb. Out of all the men, the word of says, out of all these men, there were 2 people, Joshua and Caleb, who spoke what was going to happen. 10 spies spoke what had happened. There's lots of giants there. But 2 people spoke what God was going to do. Because God said to us, that's all we need. We don't need anything. We don't need buts. We need to know that God had said. We need to know the word of God says. That's more than enough. Amen. We don't need buts. We don't need buts. We don't need buts. We don't do buts. We do what the word of God says. Amen. And that's more than enough for us. If the word of God says go, that's more than enough. I don't need buts. If the word of God says wake up, that's more than enough. We don't need buts. If the word of God says stand firm, that's more than enough. We don't need buts. Amen. And we need to declare what the word of God is saying over our lives. We need to do that. Joan, you're a strong woman of God. And God is going to use you. We need to speak that. We need to speak that over your life. Whatever you believe, it's lies. The truth is, God has chosen you. God has called you. And God's still using you. And He's about to use even more. Amen. And we need that. We need to speak that over our lives. We need to be speaking people. Let's not be drainers. Speaking negativity about people. Look at you. Look at the way you've dressed. Look at the way you dress. Look at, I can't stand that person. Whatever you think, just keep it in you. Don't speak it out. Because as soon as you speak it out, other people's going to catch your fire. And they'll run with that fire. And they'll say the same, that person, You say it out, then that's going to pass it on to another person. It's poison. It's poison. It's poisonous. It's a venom. We don't need that. whatever you think, negative stuff, keep it in you. Amen? Because at least we're doing our best to change. We're not verbalizing it. And that's a challenge for me personally. I mean, I bet there was lots of stuff going on in Jesus' mind. But he kept his cool. There was lots of stuff that he could have said about Pharisees. He did say one or two stuff, but there could have been more stuff that he could have said. But he kept his cool. He kept his under his breath. And I think that's what we need to do as well. That's what we need to do as well. If someone says something bad to us, we need to hold that temper. We need to keep it under our breath. If someone says something, can I just say, if you want to verbalize it, verbalize the good stuff. Vocalize the good stuff. If you want to praise people, praise it publicly. Elevate them. Oh, John, you're fantastic. And that is true, you are. Yeah. By the way, she's not giving me any money to say this, in case some people might be thinking. But you are, John. Every time I come to church, she always puts that smile on my face. She's so servant hearted. And I want to publicly praise you for that. I do. Because you give up your time daily to serve people. And I've not one time heard a moan come out of your mouth. I haven't. And that is honest truth. I haven't. And I bet all of us can testify that. I haven't heard one grumble or one moaning come out of her mouth. Because she's such a servant heart. She wants to serve people. Every time I come to church, she's asking me. Even I forget to get me a glass of water. But she always remembers. She always gets me a glass of water every time I come to church. And that's amazing. Because she's such a servant heart. And she wants to serve people. She loves people. That's why she does that. Because of overflow of her heart, her body does. She serves because there's such an overflow of serving heart in her. So much of love for God in her that she loves people. Amen. Always make that decision of seeing the best in people. Always. Personally for me, this is something I can testify about Andrew and Grace as well. They've never once said bad stuff about me. I can't think of any. I can't. Although, yeah. I can say a lot of bad stuff about me, but they certainly haven't. And every time they encourage me, and that re-energizes me. And let's be that kind of person, amen? Let's be people who speak life. Let's be people who actually speak truth. Let's be encouragers. Let's not be drainers, but let's be radiators, amen? Giving heat, giving energy, giving power. Because when the word of God comes to you, He never condemns you. So our word should be the same. Our word shouldn't condemn people. But what the word of God does, it convicts you. There's a difference. Let your word convict people, not condemn people. And let your word change people, not drift people away. But most of the time that does happen. But let our words be full of conviction of Jesus Christ. Let our words be full of transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us not focus too much on us past, not on others people past, that we forget the potential in that person and that we forget what God is going to do through that person. Forget the past, let's just move on. Jeremiah said, "I can't." To God, to which God replied, "Don't say I can't." Similarly, God is saying the same thing to us. Don't say you can't. Don't say you're sick. Don't say you're weak. Don't say I haven't got the ability to do it. Because you know what God's going to say? Don't say you can't. God's going to say to you, you can't. But hey, I can. You might be saying, I'm weak. God's saying, oh, don't say you're weak. I'm strong. You might be saying, God, this is too much. Don't say it's too much. God's saying, listen. For me, it's not too much. You might be saying, God, oh, this, that. There's too many this, that. But God's like, hey, listen, I can. Hello, are you even focusing on me? Amen. That's what God's saying. And even with our girls, like, you might be saying, oh, God, this is too much. Exams and that. God, I can't. But God's going to say, hey, if you trust in me, you will do well in your exams. Amen. But trusting alone isn't enough, like I've said already. We need to trust and do at the same time. Amen. So three things I've highlighted today, and I firmly believe that's what God's placed in my heart to share with us all today. And it personally challenged me, because in challenging, there is a growth. Because when we're challenged, we grow. Because when we're convicted of our sins, we run away from that sin. If we're not convicted of our sins, doesn't matter how much we pray, we will never be able to sort it out. If we've not dealt with our sins, doesn't matter how much we pray or fast or cry for hours, we need to do something about our sins. Amen. And similarly, if we want to change, praying alone isn't enough. We need to do. So three things I've shared today. Let us be hearing people, people who hear the word of God, people who hear the truth, people who run away from the moaners and the grumblers and stick with the truth. And second of all, let's be people who are doing people, who does what the word of God says, who obeys the word of God, who runs with that passion in their hearts saying, God, you've said this, I'm going to follow that, I'm going to run with it. And thirdly, let us be people who are speaking people, speaking the truth. Because if we're speaking negativity over our lives, we will never be able to move forward. The only way we'll be able to move forward is when we say to ourselves, God, you've said it, I'm doing it. That's it. That's what counts. Doesn't matter what he sees, da da da. Ugh. There's a lot of people who'll be speaking over your life. This is what I do. In and out. In and out. In goes through one ear, out goes through the air, through another ear. But if someone's speaking good thing about my life or something that's good for me, in goes in it stays in. It transforms me. Amen. Because now we've heard the word of God. So now we need to do the word of God. And after we've done the word of God, we're going to declare something together. Amen. We did this last week, but we're going to declare it again. So let's just, we've heard the word of God, let's just meditate on the word of God for a few seconds. Let's just do that. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you for your word, Lord. We've heard your word, Lord, and we want to respond, Lord God. Lord, we want to be people, Lord. We want to be disciples of you. We want to be believers, Lord, who are active, Lord, who are doing what your word tells us to do, Lord. Lord, we want to be people, Lord God, who are moving forward, Lord, regardless of where the situation or circumstances. So, Lord, we declare your word together. Let's just, I'm going to read a verse and you can repeat after me. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Amen. 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 Bless you guys. Bless you guys.